This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The helping profession is filled with people who are selfless and giving, but burnout is a common side effect of working in a helping role, and it occurs when we as helpers give more of ourselves than is healthy for us. We can lose our boundaries, ourselves, and what is really important to us. Educator Debbie Holmes has written a book called How to Help Others Without Losing Yourself. Debbie says that helpers can adopt strategies to keep themselves healthy, vibrant, and energized in their daily lives.
Debbie Holmes was at a book event in Nanaimo earlier this week, and I stopped by the Harborfront Library to listen in and record her comments. Here's my edit of her longer presentation.
My name is Debbie Holmes, and I've been an educator for about the past 20 to 25 years. And throughout that time, I've noticed a lot of people losing themselves along with their work, social workers, people that work in teaching. And when you give so much of you, you forget who you are along the way. And so throughout my journey, someone suggested I write a book because I'm always spouting off this advice to people. At first, I thought they were nuts because I was thinking, write a book? Who would want to listen to a book I'd write? But then the thought registered with me and I thought, you know what? Why not? Because it's sad when you see people lose who they are. It's sad when they give all of themselves to their professions. So that's why I wrote the book. And I hope along the way I can help people move forward in life and help them to maybe not give so much of themselves and keep a little bit of like 30 minutes of time for themselves. It sounds like a lot, but in a 24-hour day, it's not that much. And it doesn't have to be just sitting down and reading a book. It can be going for a walk by yourself. I think you consider that me time too. I think the most important thing along the way that I mean, there's lots of things and I could rattle on forever. But the biggest important few things I think to remember is having balance in your life. I think that's the biggest thing. If I can ever tell anybody how to prevent burnout, it's to have the balance. Balance between work life, personal life, exercise and health, diet. All of it kind of blends together. And when I normally do workshops, I talk to people about time and what they spend their time on. And it is amazing to me when we go through it, how much time is spent on work. And if you think of work, it should be, if you work an 8 to 10 hour day, but a 40 hour work week, then most of your weekdays are on work. That's normal. It's when all the other time is still on work that you should get a little concerned. And even when you're volunteering, because you can volunteer your whole life away, and people will start, even though you're having a hard time getting there, once people find out you want to volunteer, they can take advantage of that, because there's not a lot of people out there. And there's not a lot of people that want to give so much of themselves. I wrote a raw script with no research, and then I did the research. Now, most people do the research and write the book. I did it backwards. And I did it backwards because I think I had a lot to say and a lot of thoughts in my head, and I just wanted to get them down before I forgot. Unlike most people, I wrote the book in about 3 months, did the research in about 3 months, and then edited it for 6. So it was a year, and a long year. But I think for me, it's that need to help. So I just wanted to give, and I didn't want to be preachy, which I worked really hard not to be preachy in the book, because I don't think my story might help others, but it won't. It's not their journey. Your journey won't be the same as my journey. And I think that I want to make sure that everybody understands that this is what I went through and this is how I did it. But along the way, there's activities that I give and suggestions I make and stories to back up that. And then the research, it wasn't hard to find the research to back up what I was saying, because I think it's out there. So for me, it was just sad to see people burning out and giving all of themselves. And there is so many good people, because of our jobs and the type of work we do. We work with a lot of social service agencies, And I was watching good people have mental health breakdowns. And it was sad. And they were really good at their jobs, but they couldn't do it anymore. And the stories, they couldn't deal with the stories anymore. They didn't have the right circles of support for them to deal with that information. Because no matter what you do in life, you're going to come across some stuff that's hard to deal with. And especially if you're working with people. Because, you know, sometimes they just need to step up. Sometimes they need advocates to get through kind of a sad situation. But sometimes the situations are so horrible and horrific. You got to mentally learn how to deal with it. And I think for me, and it's funny because I tell everybody, I go to counseling once every couple months, and my staff never believed me at first. I said, no, I do. Because the stuff we deal with isn't happy stuff. I mean, we only have a 20% to 30% success rate. That's not very high. But for those 20 or 30%, it's awesome. The stories are great. And that's what you have to hold on to. But the other 70%, the stories are really sad. So I think that for me, the book was all about, I don't want people to do what I did. I don't want people to go through, I had health issues. I had at times relationship issues, and I have a pretty strong relationship. I met my husband in high school, so we've been together a long time. And I think that for me, it was all about, I don't want people to do what I, if I can help one person not go through the mess that I had to go through, then I'm just happy.
There's a big difference, though, between advice and suggestions. So what I found that when I'm preachy to youth, they just shut down. And same with adults. We're the worst. Helpers are kind of the worst at taking help.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because we give out help, but we cannot take it. And I am the prime example of someone who is terrible at that. And what I'm slowly, very slowly learning, that it's okay to take that help once in a while. And I think that you just have to be careful how you present it. Yeah. So for example, I have a friend that never tells me what to do. She says, well, if it was me and I was in that situation, this is how I would do it. And I can only speak for myself. Because really, we can. We are the only ones that are going to change our lives or do anything for our lives. I think it's therapeutic to write a book. It's very tiring, but very therapeutic, I think. Because writing the book and then finding that people, professionals in the system agree with you, that's good for me. Having people read the book and feel like they feel more confident with themselves to change for the better, that reaffirms it. And I also think that for me, I just, you know, it's me. I wrote the book as if you're sitting in the coffee shop talking to me on purpose. And somebody came back to me after they were pre-reading it and said, I feel like I was in the coffee shop and we were talking over coffee. I'm like, that's exactly how I wanted to read it. I wanted to write it at a level that everybody could understand because I'm not an academic. And I just wanted to make people feel valued through the writing. So I didn't want to use, I don't use names because all of the stories obviously have happened and I have happened through my career and life. But I think that the thing that I've learned the most is you've got to practice what you preach. And I came up with all these assignments along the way. And I started using them. And even when I was later, I had to not beat myself up. I had to keep, you know, say, okay, I write about making mistakes. And this, I'm a big believer that everybody's going to make mistakes. It's what you do after the mistakes that makes you a human being. And it's in where you're valued. And I think that life is full of mistakes. And my sister calls them just lessons in life. That's what she calls it. And I use that in the book. But for me, it's just learning to take what I wrote and practicing it myself. So I think I learned a lot when I wrote it. But I'm better at doing the assignments in my everyday life. And I'm way better at balance. I'm way better at boundaries. So I guess in that respect, It's changed my life quite a bit, actually. Well, thank you so much for coming on a Tuesday in a beautiful day. I really appreciate it. Oh, and this is my daughter, Cassie. I didn't introduce her.
Debbie Holmes is an educator, speaker, and author of How to Help Others Without Losing Yourself. For the past 16 years, Debbie has taught academics and life skills to youth and adults in the Surrey School District, one of the largest school districts in Western Canada. You can find out more about her book online at debbieholmes.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.